The alarm as they prepare to return from the August recess over the possibility that President Barack Obama will take sweeping executive actions on immigration in a matter of days, with some Republicans warning of a renewed budget brawl if he takes that step. The administration had indicated the president plans to announce a decision around Labor Day. However, administration officials said a host of national security crises have pushed the announcement back, likely until after Obama returns from Wales. This is IRN USA Radio News.
The folks who care at the Platteville Public Library remind parents, this back-to-school season, prepare your kids the right way by boning up on their reading and studying skills. By doing so, you give them a fighting chance at success. So help your child succeed and prepare them for back-to-school properly. That's from the Platteville Public Library, because they care about your child's education. For more information on study and reading programs for your kids, call 785-2231 and get your kids properly prepared for back-to-school. As our children return to school, it's vital that we offer the guidance they deserve. Open communication is the only way to win the war against drugs and violence. Parents, talk to your kids and help them to make better decisions for themselves. That's from Gray's Cafe in Ault, inviting you to come and get it. Whether you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop by Gray's Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault. It's a great place for great food and a good time. Gray's Cafe, 200 East 1st Street in Ault. Listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Well, good morning, Sam here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, as every Friday, is Andrew Skousen, who's going to bring us up to date on his dad's world affairs brief and give you a different view of what is transpiring, because remember, the media is rigidly controlled by six major corporations that control 90% of the major outlets, and they shape your views and ideas. That's why Andrew's program is always so important and why I always look forward to it. Andrew Skousen, you pick up the story. What are we going to be talking about this morning?
Thank you, Dr. Tan. Pleasure to be with you again. Well, the first story is trying to unravel some of this ISIS conflict. Joel says, ISIS as the new flagship terror threat. Whenever a relatively new terror organization starts bragging about how it's going to take over the entire Muslim world and simultaneously threatens Jerusalem, Europe, and the U.S., you can bet it's either the work of an irrational braggart or a propaganda stunt by Western intelligence agencies to give new urgency to the flagging and phony war on terror that for so long held the West in its Machiavellian grip. Their claims are so far-fetched that they could only be useful at spreading fear among the British and American people who are once again being called upon to support a new war on terror. There's another specific reason, however, for Western funding ISIS as a new enemy. It gives the U.S. its long-awaited excuse to get back into the Syrian conflict, and it won't be to help Assad or get rid of ISIS. All the regular neocon Republicans, like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, were hitting the talk shows last Sunday, pushing for the U.S. military to attack ISIS in Syria. Quote, Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican from South Carolina, on Sunday called for President Obama to target leaders of the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, in Syria, after the beheading of an American journalist last week, end quote. We insert here that the James Foley beheading itself was a mostly staged event, with death taking place off-screen, to horrify the American public and create support for the notion of a wider war on ISIS. Virtually every media report about building the case for war mentions it. McCain's rhetoric is particularly hypocritical in light of his trip to Syria in May of 2013 to discuss giving arms and support to Syrian rebels. One researcher has noticed that one of the men meeting with McCain looks just like Ibrahim al-Badri, a.k.a. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader and commander of the Islamic State in Iraq, otherwise known as ISIS. Pictures tweeted by McCain himself show him talking with rebels, including a man who matches al-Badri's mugshot on Wikipedia before he grew his prominent beard, a beard that, like bin Laden's, makes it easy for dumbed-down Americans to identify the terrorist figurehead or look-alike as needed. Like bin Laden, I suspect, Dole says, al-Baghdadi is a paid agent of the CIA, or McCain would never have been set up to meet with him and others. They are all smiling, certainly no enemies of the U.S. in reality. The New York Times joined in rehearsing the widespread calls for going into Syria. They said, quote, "The Obama administration is debating a more robust intervention in Syria, including possible American airstrikes and a significant escalation of its weeks-long military assault on the Islamic extremist group that has destabilized neighboring Iraq and killed an American journalist," end quote. But that would be a violation of Syrian sovereignty were the U.S. to intrude without permission. And apparently, the U.S. has no intention of asking permission, as Fox News pointed out. Quote, "Syria's government on Monday demanded the Obama administration seek permission before launching any airstrikes on its territory against Islamic State targets, while the State Department indicated it had no intention of seeking, quote, the approval of Syria, end quote." Joel says, and that's because the U.S. wants to do more than merely attack ISIS. A military incursion into Syria would be very complex. The U.S. doesn't want to help Assad, and yet picking and choosing who to attack among the various rebel forces in Syria, which the U.S. has been financing, including ISIS, is fraught with problems. Who is really moderate and who is not? I don't think any rebel group is moderate. If anyone is playing the moderate stabilizing role, it's Assad. The ultimate U.S. objective in Syria is to remove Bashar al-Assad and topple his pro-Russian government so that Israel can finally get the green light to attack Iran without fear of Syrian missile retaliation. In some way, the U.S. is conniving to use the need to attack ISIS in Syria as a path toward controlling Syria and taking down Assad. There are many devious ways in which the U.S. can assist the Syrian rebels while playing as if they are attacking ISIS in Syria. For example, because of the difficulties of identifying aircraft as friend or foe, Syria flies Russian aircraft, the U.S. might have to warn Syrian planes from flying sorties against the rebels while the U.S. is engaging them, engaging what they say are ISIS targets in Syria. This will assist the other rebels in getting the upper hand over Assad. The U.S. could also use the excuse of ISIS capturing the Topka airbase as an excuse to bomb the remaining MiG-21 jets Syria had to leave there, along with their corresponding supply of air-to-air armaments for those planes. I don't think ISIS has any access to training MiG pilots, so they aren't much use to them except for bragging rights, but the U.S. might destroy them just to make sure Assad is permanently deprived of those MiGs. ISIS forces also captured some handheld anti-aircraft missiles, which are a threat to any aircraft in the region. Capturing Topka, the last government stronghold in the Raqqa province, allows ISIS to protect its supply sources from Turkey. Here's how the New York Times presents the difficulties facing Obama's decision on invading Syria. Quote, "As the president considers airstrikes in Syria against the group, seeking a congressional imprimatur remains a politically tricky undertaking. It is not just that many Democrats and even some Republicans are wary about endorsing a new American military venture. The White House is also wrestling with how to define the president's war-making authority in a way that does not undermine his claim last year that he had finally taken the United States off a permanent war footing," end quote. Joel says, "We always knew that last claim wasn't true. And neither are the other claims the president makes." Quote, "The president could decide not to petition Congress for approval at all, or at least not before the midterm elections in November. Bypassing Congress would be difficult to justify given the fervent case Mr. Obama made for consulting lawmakers last September. That would relieve some lawmakers who do not want to cast a politically unpopular vote and then face their war-weary constituents. A growing number of voices in Congress are also demanding a say. A broad authorization, like those passed after the September 11th, 2001.
Hold that thought, Andrew. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Jensen Arms takes this special time to salute the men and women in uniform who have answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve, as they have fought hard to restore peace around the world. American troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. This message is sponsored by Jensen Arms, where they're working proudly with this station to bring you this important message. That's Jensen Arms, who says keep your radio tuned right here.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Walker Manufacturing Company reminds listeners that many accidents are a result of drivers on their cell phones. Cell phone usage while driving is quickly becoming a serious problem on our roadways. Whether you're talking or texting, cell phone use is a major distraction. That's from Walker Manufacturing Company at 5925 East Harmony in Fort Collins. In the business world, there are certain companies that stand out and attain a position of leadership and trust, whose community expertise and years of servicing the community has given them their fine reputation. Call 970-221-5614, Walker Manufacturing Company.
Well, Dan here is American Freedom Network. Yes, this morning at the challenges. Let me just clarify what's going on. There's an entirely new group called ISIS. It is a revolutionary group, Islamic radical revolutionary group. It's over there killing Christians. It certainly has taken a good deal of Iraq. It's moved into Syria. And now the Americans are using that as justification for attacking Syria, and yet we created ISIS. Look up Aaron Klein. Aaron Klein, I personally know, writes for WorldNet Daily, a very accurate. He's written an article pointing out that 2 years ago in Jordan, the CIA trained, funded, and financed ISIS. You see, you have to have an enemy, ladies and gentlemen. And this story of them executing or beheading an American, if you've seen the pictures of it, here's this fellow with a black hood and all dressed in black with a knife in his hand. And he's going to behead the American who's kneeling in front of him. You don't behead somebody with a knife. It's all for your benefit. And now, versus saying ISIS threatens the America, we got to have more control over the lives of the American people to protect us from the wicked ISIS we've created. That's what it's all about. Just as we funded the Viet Cong, altering the Vietnam War for 10 years, we funded the Nazis during the Second World War, so we've created and we're funding ISIS. Andrew, pick up the story.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, we're commenting about the possibility of President Obama actually asking Congress for any kind of authorization before attacking Syria this time. The president could decide not to petition Congress for approval at all, or at least not before the midterm election in November. Bypassing Congress would be difficult to justify, given the fervent case Mr. Obama made for consulting lawmakers last September. That would relieve some lawmakers who would not want to cast a politically unpopular vote and then face their war-weary constituents. A growing number of voices in Congress are also demanding a say. A broad authorization, like those passed after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks and before the Iraq War, would carry echoes of the George W. Bush administration, outrage Mr. Obama's anti-war liberal base, and raise the specter of an open-ended conflict in Syria. For the White House, the bottom line is tailoring legal authority to match the policy objectives it shares with Congress and our allies. The globalist objectives, Joel inserts, said Harold H. Coe, a professor of international law at Yale. Mr. Coe, who as the State Department's legal advisor in 2011 defended the White House decision to bypass Congress before the bombing campaign in Libya, said the case for military action against ISIS in Iraq was fairly straightforward. In addition to the threat the militants posed to Americans, they could destroy Iraq's efforts to form a viable government, which is a major diplomatic priority of the United States. Joel inserts, this is not a constitutional justification, however, for going to war. Joel says further, none of these speak to a U.S. threat, and that is why the U.S. media keeps putting out all the propaganda about ISIS attacking the U.S. directly. Stories have been planted by government agents and local police fusion centers about supposed intelligence warnings about attacks on Chicago, Houston, and Las Vegas. The neocon publication National Review was a willing accomplice with this article by Joel Gerk, saying that, quote, ISIS could pivot to 9/11-style attack, end quote. National Review says, quote, the execution of American journalist James Foley by ISIS represents a terrorist attack against the United States, a White House official told reporters Friday. White House Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes told reporters, quote, that represents a terrorist attack against our country, against an American citizen. Asked if ISIS could carry out a 9/11-style attack, Rhodes said that the group doesn't appear to be planning one. Joel inserts, I'm surprised he was honest enough to say that. Continuing the quote, today we have not seen them focus on that type of planning, but that doesn't mean we're not going to be very mindful that they could quickly aim to pivot to attacks against Western targets outside of the region, he said. If they show the intent or they show plotting against the United States, we'll be prepared to deal with that as necessary, end quote. And then this, according to Fox 5 News in Las Vegas, quote, Metro Police have confirmed, Joel inserts, the only thing confirmed is that the propaganda claims are in print, not that they are real or that they really come from Al-Qaeda. Continuing the quote, that Al-Qaeda leaders are encouraging lone jihadists to target Las Vegas for terror attacks. That information comes from a recent publication which names the city as a top spot to strike. It's just a suggestive rhetoric to those who subscribe to violent jihadist ideology, said Lieutenant Nicole Splinter with Southern Nevada Counterterrorism Unit. Joel says, counterterrorism agencies always have to justify their salaries by promoting every threat the feds pass down to them. But this official actually seems to suspect that it's no more than bravado. Continuing the quote, it's in a publication titled Palestine, where you can see Las Vegas listed as a top spot for a potential terror attack. The city is listed in a section about building and using car bombs. Splinter said it's not uncommon for publications like this to suggest the names of big cities to target. It does not, however, mean there's any planning or operational phases that have been identified, Splinter said, end quote. Joel says, however, high-profile cities like Vegas can expect to be targeted if the government decides to do another false flag terror event like 9/11. Every 2 or 3 months, former Vice President Dick Cheney keeps warning about another terror attack. He's one of the few in the Bush administration for whom we have definitive evidence of his involvement in allowing the Pentagon attack to proceed without a shootdown. That makes him a particularly evil insider. In 2009 and again twice this year on January 24th and July 15th, Cheney repeated his warning that America must, quote unquote, be prepared for another terrorist attack in the United States, and that it could be as bad as 9/11. That may well be a self-fulfilling prophecy by our own dark side of government. If it does happen, it won't be by ISIS. Government operatives are the only ones who do high-profile and complex terror attacks in this country. Then it's probably time for another one as the American public becomes more apathetic each year for the drumbeat for war. CBS News hinted it might be Chicago. Quote, over the past 6 years, Chicago has become a top potential target for international terrorists, a top security expert said Friday. Joel inserts, You see, it's always government sources that are planting the idea with journalists. Continuing the quote, making the posting of a veiled threat by Islamic radicals on Twitter a higher cause for concern. Many terror organizations refer to Chicago as Obamatown, said CBS2 security expert Ross Rice, a former FBI agent in Chicago. Under President Obama, the U.S. took out Osama bin Laden and used repeated drone strikes to weaken terror networks, end quote. Joel says, this is all junk analysis. The NSA is supposed to be surveying Twitter. So are we to believe ISIS is stupid enough to use it regularly and not be traced? The taking down of the already dead Osama bin Laden was a grand deception, but we still see superficial government shills continually referring to it as a supposed motivation for terrorist revenge. Continuing the quote, in the meantime, the U.S. government on Friday issued a security bulletin to all U.S. law enforcement in light of the overall threat posed by Islamic State. Joel says, the phony Twitter text supposedly says, quote, a message from ISIS to U.S. We are in your state. We are in your cities. We are in your streets. You are our goals anywhere, end quote.
And I think it's so vitally important the American people realize it's all propaganda. We're funding and financing ISIS, the best enemy money could buy, to frighten the American people. That's what it's all about. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's really true. If you look at some of the news reports about ISIS, you see them in all these long colonnades of almost brand new vehicles, almost all of them Toyota or Hyundai or other reliable type vehicles out there in the middle of the desert being paraded around. Continuing the brief here, Joel says, the only way that could be true, that ISIS is in the streets and intent on attacking the U.S., is for terrorists to cross the open border between the U.S. and Mexico, which could easily be happening almost daily. But it isn't happening, and we should be asking why. I'll tell you why, Joel says. Terror is controlled. If it were allowed to happen and we had a rash of real terror events, the minor ones common to Israel, like suicide bombers in malls or car bombs, there would be a hue and cry from the public to seal the border now. That's the last thing that the U.S. government wants to do, is seal the border. They have too much riding on illegal immigration as a means of diluting conservative voting patterns. As an aside on this illegal immigration agenda, the ACLU won an all-too-convenient case against the Department of Homeland Security this week, where immigration-friendly judges in California ruled that the Department of Homeland Security had improperly deported illegals without briefing them on all their options for getting back into the U.S. legally, as if illegals have Miranda-like rights for non-criminal offenses. And, like Brer Rabbit crying, "Don't throw me in the briar patch," the DHS agreed to allow all these illegals to come back to the U.S. and get in line at the immigration court. Next, the ACLU plans a class action suit that will get the DHS to agree to let all the hundreds of thousands of deportees to come back to clog the immigration system once more. And they get to stay in the U.S. while their case is pending. Incredible. What we are witnessing is the same kind of secret collusion going on between the administration and radical environmentalists. They tell the environmentalists, go sue us in court, and then we'll settle with you for what you are demanding, and it will look like we were forced to do it by the court. Slick. Back to the war on ISIS. Because the U.S. is playing both sides of this war, it is making more enemies than friends in the long run. No wonder the U.S. is so secretive about which countries are harboring U.S. forces as it attacks ISIS. Here's the Star Tribune commenting, which is so telling. Quote, the U.S. military is relying on bases in the Persian Gulf and elsewhere in the Middle East to carry out airstrikes in Iraq, but it is masking the locations and other details about the units and aircraft involved to avoid embarrassing partners in the region. Persian Gulf monarchies have long hosted U.S. forces to bolster their own security, but most have shied away from acknowledging the American presence and are even more reluctant now with U.S. warplanes bombing Iraq. The arrangement is especially delicate given long-standing accusations from Washington that wealthy donors in the Gulf underwrite terrorist groups, including Islamic militants, being targeted by the Pentagon. Public records and U.S. military statements about the types of U.S. aircraft deployed over Iraq indicate they are primarily drawn from three major bases in the Gulf: Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar, Ali Al Salam Air Base in Kuwait, and Al Dhafra Air Base in the United Arab Emirates. In addition, Predator drones and possibly other U.S. aircraft are flying from Incirlik Air Base in Turkey, a NATO ally. Those bases are responsible for launching about two-thirds of the airstrikes in Iraq since August 8th, as well as a similar proportion of the thousands of surveillance sorties that have been conducted since June, according to U.S. military commanders. The remainder has been launched from the USS George H.W. Bush, an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf, and other ships in the carrier strike group, according to Navy commanders. End quote. Now for a background on the creation of terror. Joel says, let me take a minute to give some background on how the phony war on terror is morphing into something even more unstable for the U.S., as years of occupation have increased the ranks of jihadists far in excess of the few hundred the U.S. used to control directly in the lead-up to 9/11. Except in the small-scale Palestinian attacks on Israel, there wasn't much real terror in the world prior to 9/11. And what there was very much manipulated by U.S., British, Israeli, and German intelligence agencies of the dark side variety. They developed small cadres of controlled terrorists to drive various political agendas. Many of these were a perversion of Operation Gladio, originally designed after World War II as a secret underground force that stayed behind to spy on the continuing communist drive to subvert Europe. But since the U.S. wasn't really interested in dismantling or undermining communism, the various Gladio cells were gradually replaced and retrained to recruit and take over small emerging terrorist groups. The effort got a major boost after the Russians invaded Afghanistan. The U.S. hired one Osama bin Laden and funded him via Saudi Arabia in order to oust the Russians from Afghanistan. But after the war, the U.S. kept bin Laden in service in order to create Al-Qaeda, which would be used to put the Western world under the
threat of terror. Hold on, Andrew. We'll be back in just a moment. Of the American Peace.
Listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
As our children return to school, it's vital that we offer the guidance they deserve. Open communication is the only way to win the war against drugs and violence. Parents, talk to your kids and help them to make better decisions for themselves. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, inviting you to come and get it. Whether you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop by Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault. It's a great place for great food and a good time. Grace Cafe, 200 East 1st Street in Ault. On the air because they care.
Blow your shofars and sound your high praises of joy and thanksgiving to our Lord. Come with rejoicing as Beth Messiah Congregation celebrates the first of the fall feast days, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And we're inviting you to join us. Date, Wednesday, September the 24th, place E.V. Rains Park in North Glen, Colorado. Time, 5 to 9:30 p.m. Bring your favorite dishes to share with all. Special guest speaker, Dr. Lance Thomas at 6 o'clock. And special music from the Mendez family. See you there and Chag Sameach.
Stand here, our guest, Andrew Skousen. And before we go on, Andrew, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your dad and subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, and then how they can get his book on strategic relocation and planning for the terrible times that lie ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The best way to sign up for the brief is to go to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. There's a large button to log in and create a simple account that will give you access to the rest of the World Affairs Brief archives via the website. There's a modest fee for signing up for the brief, but it amounts to less than $1 per brief, and those briefs will then be sent directly to your email inbox each week. Even if you don't sign up for the World Affairs Brief, it's worth going to worldaffairsbrief.com periodically. We're always updating news stories there to help people with their daily digest of news material. Also, there's a link there to our other website, joelskousen.com, which highlights all of the books put out by Joel. The foremost, as you mentioned, is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. And this is a good primer for people to read about what are the threats out there and what we think is going to face us in the future. It then highlights various parts of the U.S. and Canada that we expect will be safer in some of the coming turmoil. Once people have a secure spot, they should probably look at one of our other two books. The Secure Home highlights everything about securing a property, including putting in a full shelter, outfitting it with alternate energy type system. If people are stuck in an existing house, they should probably look at our smaller book, The High Security Shelter. This book has plans for reinforcing a closet or putting in a secure room in an existing basement location by building it yourself out of cinder block and concrete. We have complete do-it-yourself plans in that book with ideas for a small-scale alternate energy system to help people out that are stuck in some kind of existing situation and can't get out and build something new or renovate a larger property. And all of these are also available by calling directly to Radio Liberty, right, Dr. Stan?
It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Ladies and gentlemen, these are books you need to have. We're moving into very difficult times. The whole society that we've known and loved for so many years is beginning to break down. We're going to have an economic crisis. They're going to have their phony Islamic terrorists committing acts of terrorism here in the United States. And of course, who knows what the future will hold. If you read the scriptures, you find out we're moving into prophetic times. Make your preparations. 1-800-544-8927. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, it gets a little bit more scary every day. Going back to the story about the background on terror, Joel says, September 11th was the biggest single trigger event that created the war on terror, and it was simultaneously blamed on Al-Qaeda and used to justify the invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan, neither of which had anything to do with 9/11. Neither was bin Laden, who was still under the pay of the CIA and already ill with kidney disease, the instigator and executor of 9/11, except perhaps in his efforts to coordinate or recruit both the list of false hijackers, those listed by the U.S. as the perpetrators, and the real ones, which are still unknown, and organize their training on modern Boeing airliners owned by friendly Arab states. Otherwise, everything else in the 9/11 attack was a U.S. black operation, including the loading of demolition charges in World Trade Center Buildings 1, 2, and 7, and arranging, most likely, for remote-controlled aircraft to hit the Pentagon and crash into the World Trade Center Buildings 1 and 2. Only U.S. black ops could have conceived and carried out this complex of an operation, which required sophisticated equipment and insider access to all the buildings, aircraft, air traffic control, etc., and the ability to create diversionary military exercises at the precise time of the attack, and coordinate the extensive cover-up in the aftermath. The important thing about all this background information on building the war on terror is this. In the aftermath of the U.S. war on terror in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the decades-long occupation, thousands of additional Muslims were energized to hate America and NATO countries. They formed or joined many new radical jihadist organizations that were too large and varied to be directly controlled by U.S. and British intelligence services as before. They could only be indirectly controlled through infiltrating their leadership and providing funding, arms, and material support from controlled allies. That still provides a lot of control, since no substantial terror organization exists without a major state sponsor. And that's what I believe we are seeing today in ISIS, a major new source of war and terror created purposefully, yet somehow indirectly, by U.S. funding through surrogate nations like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey. So in the case of ISIS, the U.S. creates another terror monster, fails to curtail its supply depots and arms caches in Iraq until it's too late, and now after the Iraq invasion by ISIS, the U.S. has the excuse to mount major air attacks with support of hundreds of special forces the U.S. never admits to, in order to stop what they created. But it won't stop, and may not ever be able to be stopped completely, because the U.S. will continue to make more enemies as it attacks ISIS. Well, in another major theater around the world, the next story tackles the Russian invasion of Ukraine. This week's cordial meeting between Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko and Russian President Vladimir Putin shows that diplomacy is all a lie. Even while spouting platitudes and promises of peace, Putin's military orders were already being implemented, shades of Hitler's peace diplomacy rules with Neville Chamberlain, except that Poroshenko is secretly Putin's man, not the West. Still, the West is just as much in denial about this leading to war as it was in World War II, only this time there will be a longer interlude between the deception and the eventual war caused by the inevitable consequences of permissiveness and totalitarian heavyweights like Russia and China. The only good news about Russia's open military incursion into Ukraine is that it should finally dispel all the misplaced claims of anti-globalists on both the left and the right that the entire Ukraine crisis was a one-sided globalist plot and provocation, and that Russia is just the innocent victim. Yes, the globalists are always meddling and attempting to foment unrest, but we should never have any illusions about Russia's ultimate aggressive intentions. This military incursion is unfolding more openly each week as Russia brings new equipment and units across the border each day. It started with the shelling of Ukrainian forces surrounding Donetsk as Russia helped separatists to break the siege by Ukrainian troops. As early as 2 weeks ago, Russian troops also crossed the border and Ukrainian troops found themselves being attacked at their rear. That's ultimately why the pro-separatists had dozens of Ukrainian prisoners to parade before cameras, while Kiev was putting on a military parade.
Hold that thought, Andrew. Hold those thoughts. We'll be back in just a moment. Have the Americans be in touch.
Should a natural... Protecting our environment is everyone's responsibility, and Colorado manufacturers take that obligation seriously. We're working hard to be responsible members of our community, while at the same time helping to grow our economy and create new jobs. But now, politicians and special interests in Washington are trying to impose unrealistic new ozone regulations on Coloradans that will do little to improve our environment. What they will do is put a stop to all the economic progress we've worked so hard to achieve, causing almost 25,000 job losses every year and costing over $1 billion more just to drive our cars and trucks over the next 23 years. Letting Washington bureaucrats run our energy policy is not responsible government, and it's not why Colorado sent Senator Mark Udall to Washington. Call Senator Mark Udall today at 303-650-7820. Tell him to stand up for Colorado manufacturing and say no to unrealistic and costly new energy regulations. Paid for by the National Association of Manufacturers.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop wants to remind you that drinking and driving should never be combined. There will be many opportunities to drink during the holiday season. Plan ahead. If you're going to drink, don't drive. This message is brought to you by Fort Collins Radiator Shop at 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, call 482-6783. They have over 47 years of experience. They're family owned and operated, and they're on the air because they care.
We're talking about the recent incursion of Russia into Ukraine. Joel says, then there was the capture of a unit of Russian special forces who incredulously claimed that they had just, quote-unquote, accidentally wandered across the border. But now there are armored columns crossing the border in broad daylight, so it's no longer a matter of conjecture. Fox News had this summary, quote, two columns of Russian tanks have entered Ukraine, forcing border guards to retreat amid fears that rebels are seeking to create a land link between Russia and Crimea. Ukrainian Security Council spokesman Colonel Andrei Lysenko said Ukrainian forces were fired at using Grad missile systems from Russian territory. Lysenko said about an hour and a half later, two columns, including tanks and other fighting vehicles, began an attack on a border post. Ukrainian border guards retreated because they didn't have heavy equipment. Meanwhile, a top NATO official said Thursday that at least 1,000 Russian troops have poured into Ukraine with sophisticated equipment and have been in direct, quote-unquote, contact with Ukrainian soldiers, resulting in casualties. Brigadier General Niko Tak told reporters at NATO headquarters that the ultimate aim of Russia was to stave off defeat for the separatists and turn eastern Ukraine into a, quote, frozen conflict, end quote, that would stabilize the country indefinitely. NATO estimated that another 20,000 Russian troops were right over the Russian border. A leader of pro-Russian rebels in eastern Ukraine reportedly has admitted that thousands of Russians have been fighting alongside his troops. Alexander Zakharenko told Russian television that he estimated between 3,000 and 4,000 Russians have joined the ranks and claimed that they were either former Russian service members or current military personnel on leave, according to the BBC. Joel inserts, and that's about the only fig leaf of an excuse Putin has got left, that his soldiers are somehow on quote-unquote leave and spending their vacation time fighting in Ukraine for unexplained reasons. I would add, and using their country's military sources like tanks and artillery. Continuing the quote from Fox, however, he also insisted that any Russians who went to fight did so voluntarily and not on orders from superiors in Moscow. Joel inserts, sure. Continue the quote. A senior U.S. defense official told Fox News that the Pentagon has seen evidence that Russia has fired artillery inside Ukrainian territory at Ukraine military positions in recent days. This is not the first time, the official said. U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Pyatt, issued posted the following statement and three Twitter messages Thursday. Russian supplied tanks, armored vehicles, artillery, and multiple rocket launchers have been insufficient to defeat Ukraine's armed forces. So now an increasing number of Russian troops are intervening directly in fighting on Ukrainian territory. Russia has also sent its newest air defense systems, including the SA-22, into eastern Ukraine and is now directly involved in the fighting, Joel says. This week's happenings formally put an end to Putin's stealth invasion of Ukraine. It's now out in the open. The only question remaining is what is Putin trying to achieve and how will the West respond? Fox News provided the standard answer to the first. Quote, the new southeastern front raised fears that the separatists are seeking to create a land link between Russia and Crimea. If successful, it could give them or Russia control over the entire Sea of Azov and the gas and natural riches that energy experts believe it contains. Ukraine already has lost roughly half its coastline, several major ports, and significant Black Sea mineral rights in March when Russia annexed Crimea. Joel says, while that is all true, I believe it's only the beginning of a long push to take back about half of Ukraine before actual war breaks out between East and West. While the U.S. and NATO bluster and protest and promise to establish more military bases in Eastern Europe, I doubt we will see any real action or money spent on this. There may be some token movements, like the token sanctions we've seen, but nothing that will make Russia back down. Back to the Fox News quote. The recent reversals by Kiev's forces have prompted claims from Ukraine that Russian forces have crossed the border in an effort to open a new front and prevent pro-government forces from dealing a decisive blow to the rebels in Donetsk and Luhansk. Joel says this is true. Putin had to do something now that his stealth forces were bottled up in those two cities. Now the separatist movement can break out and open up more revolution to the south. I don't believe Putin will push the U.S. so far as to force the military confrontation or make U.S. and NATO permissiveness become so obvious as to cause embarrassment. Naturally, you can expect a much louder verbal and diplomatic response from the U.S. and NATO, but there will be no meaningful action to stop Russia. Yes, I know about the talk of NATO putting bases into the former Soviet states, but there's little stomach in Europe to confront the Russians or pay for those increased costs. Here's the bottom line. The globalists know that neither Russia nor China is ready to take on the West, so they'll be content to just let the conflict mature over time until they are ready. Just as in the case of semi-strong rhetoric about laughable sanctions, Obama and his administration is refusing to label this as an invasion, a prime indicator that for the globalists, they aren't about to confront Russia too early. Then late yesterday, the LA Times reported that, quote, Obama rules out military response to Russian moves. Joel inserts, moves? How about invasion? Continuing the quote, in Ukraine, President Obama said he hoped Europe, which has stronger economic ties to Russia, will agree to increase the economic pressure on Russia over its role in Ukraine's conflict. Joel says, think about this, especially in relative to the ISIS crisis. Obama doesn't flinch to invoke a billion-dollar aerial attack without congressional approval, and yet in Ukraine, there's not even a hint of military option on the table. I'm not saying there should be without a declaration of war, but I'm simply pointing out that this is the same, quote-unquote, permissive smell as the U.S. position on Iran versus that of North Korea. Threats of attack on Iran, but no military option or regime change required on the more ruthless and unstable regime in the world. Once again, the reason is that a strong military reaction now against Russia or China's little attack dog, North Korea, would get in the way of globalist plans for World War III, which I think will begin with a preemptive nuclear strike on the American military by Russia and China. So the West has to wait until both communist nations, yes, they still are communists, show their hand even more ruthlessly and are ready to strike the West. A top Russian advisor to Putin admitted to Western sources that Russia is committed to the doctrine that only war drives real and permanent change in the world.
Well, this time, Andrew, thanks very much. World War III is coming, ladies and gentlemen. Make your preparations. Thanks so much. Talk to you next.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Elizabeth Lockerplan and Elizabeth reminds our listeners that the drug problem is well documented. We know our kids will be approached at early ages. We want to applaud the youngsters in our community who have had the strength to say no to drugs. They provide examples to their peers and families to be the best they can be. That's from Elizabeth Lockerplan, located at 366 Grant Street in Elizabeth, serving our area since 1943 and specializing in naturalized aged beef and pork and complete custom processing. Call 303-688-2240. That's 303-688-2240.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, I can stand here at this time, and I didn't know I'm, my ministry is primarily listener supported. If you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio, 5 hours a day, trying to get people to understand we're living in prophetic times, and they're only going to get worse. We're going to see wars and rumors of wars, and certainly there's going to be a major financial collapse in America, perhaps epidemics. But the breakdown of the structure of our society, they've already destroyed the Christian foundation of this nation. Now, they know exactly what they're doing. Who are they? Well, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. We've got somewhere 60 to 100,000 copies of the book out. You can get Brotherhood of Darkness, which will identify who is behind what's going on by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you want to know who controls the media, why, we have a wonderful little book, The New Media Monopoly, written by a left-wing professor who honestly thinks it's the right-wing that control the media. He doesn't understand that there's a small group that controls both the right and the left, the conservatives and the liberals, the Republicans and the Democrats, and certainly most of what's going on today is totally fallacious. It is simply to manipulate the people. We are victims of a massive propaganda campaign, a prelude to the terrible times that lie ahead. So if you'd like to get that book, The New Media Monopoly, my book, the Brotherhood of Darkness, my number is 1-800-544-8927, and then we have all sorts of new 4 CD sets. We have one on dangerous electricity, because they're poisoning you with your cell phone, with your computers, with a Wi-Fi, with the smart meters. They know exactly what they're doing. They intend to kill off most of the people in the world. And if you find that difficult to believe, go onto your internet and just look up Population Control Agenda. You can put in my name, Population